Coming up this week on Radio Free Cybertron, we have the TFormers.com news desk. We also have comic news. I will be covering for Amy, who is at Auto Assembly this year. I'll be talking about Transformers Regeneration number 82. We'll also be talking about the Fall of Cybertron demo that came out for the PS3 and Xbox 360 this past week. That leads into a discussion about G1. What is G1 anyway? Also, we will be talking about Rescue Bots. Amy and Nicole come on this week for another episode of the Rescue Center podcast. And also, we're talking about Webworld. We are doing Transformers Rewind on my favorite episode ever. Yes, Webworld. I love it. Love it so much. All that, and find out what my beef is with FedEx. All that after this.
Still the original, still the best, now for more than 12 years. This is Radio Free Cybertron, hosted by Brian Kilby, with J.D. Church, John DeLuna, XV, Amy Morgan, Peter Van, and Rob Clay. For the latest Transformers news, visit TFormers.com.
So, this is Radio Free Cybertron. I am your host, Brian Kilby. With me, I have XV, Rob Clay, and the long-lost John DeLuna. John.
Hey!
Hey!
What's up, gentlemen?
How's the new job? Is it awesome? Everything that you hoped it would be?
All my hopes and dreams wrapped up in a cubicle. Yes, it's fun. I mean, it's fun, and I'm adjusting to. It has not killed me. I'm not a ghost, I'm not broadcasting from like the past, or the future. So, I think I figured out my schedule, and I think hopefully, at least every other Thursday, I'll be free to do the show.
And you're not worried about your coworkers Googling you and finding out that you're on a podcast about toys?
No. Actually, one of my coworkers is a very, very much a geek. So she's very, very cool. She'd probably be very cool with this. And then I used to have on my old team at my old job. I think I've told you this. A girl who did cosplay,
yes.
And cosplay for hire. So she would make costumes and stuff like that. So geeks are all around, guys. We are not the minority. We have won. We have one.
Yeah.
In any case, if it does become a problem, you know, you can go to the store and get one of those, like, Captain America or Wolverine masks and just podcast under another name.
Okay, yeah.
Actually, I mean, you know, the internet and YouTube is so big that, you know, I could go on YouTube right now, create another account, call myself Jeff, and no one would ever know that I did that because thousands of minutes a second are being uploaded to YouTube. So it's like hours and hours a minute. No one can possibly ever watch all the crap that's on YouTube, so it's okay. You're basically anonymous right now.
Yeah, and so many people use aliases anyway at this point. Like, what is real on the internet anyway?
Actually,
I mean,
people
could look at this and just think it's some other guy who looks like me who's decided to take my identity, which could also be true.
John DeLuna is such a fake-sounding name anyway.
Yes.
Right.
It's you know, it's like Rob Powers. Nobody's actually named that.
No.
It's
a name for serial killers and con men.
He's still around. He's on Facebook and stuff. You know, it's kind of funny. From doing the podcast with John for years, a couple years, before I actually met him in person, I'm like, wow, you are Hispanic.
Yeah, I didn't just say that to be cool. Like, there's so many white guys on the internet. I'm going to just say I'm Hispanic. Hope nobody...
Speaking of aliases, we just got... strangely enough, we just got a tweet from Trax. He's saying, what is XV's real name? And
yeah, like violently.
Yeah, I know, violently. His real name is Scott Holmes. So, you know, there you go.
I thought it was Kevin Nash.
Could be. Okay. So, lots of stuff going on this week. doing things a little differently this week. I'm actually going to do the comic review. It's Transformers Regeneration number 82, and we'll see if the follow up to the big reveal at the end of last issue spoilers, I guess, lives up to the potential. Other things on the show this week, we have the TFormers.com news desk. Lots of stuff going on there. We have another Rescue Bots review from Rescue Center, which is the weekly segment that is produced by Amy and Nicole. And we also have the latest Transformers Rewind. It's Web World. And that one's pretty fun, I have to admit. Next week, we are doing City of Steel. Oh, God. City of Steel.
Yes!
So yeah, basically, between now and next week, if you can, watch City of Steel.
And go insane.
Yeah.
Stress if you can.
If you can.
I would recommend before the show next week, unless you have, you know, an aversion, get yourself nice and drunk. It'll help a lot.
Yes. Indeed. Okay, let's go ahead and jump to the TFormers.com news desk.
Hello, and this is the TFormers.com news desk for the week of August 2nd, 2012. This is where we run down the biggest news of this week. I'm Peter Van. Let's go to the news. Transformers Fall of Cybertron demo is available now on Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3, and High Moon Studios is encouraging all players to give feedback on the Twitter account at Fall of Cybertron. The demo features two single-player missions, competitive multiplayer, and a look at the character customization for the multiplayer. Apparently, gamers who were part of the GameStop early preview, which came out last Friday, have already contributed greatly to the effort, and High Moon already reports that tweaks to the balance and weapons have been made, as well as actively working to ban cheaters. Yes, they already exist. Transformers Prime Arms Micron AM-16 Jet Viacon may be a Takara exclusive. According to an image provided by Power Convoy of the AllSpark, a copyright information on the wing only shows copyright Tomy, which is known to be Takara Tomy outside of regions of Japan. Most figures will be available by Hasbro somewhere down the line that typically have Hasbro part of this copyright, but this is similar to AM-12 breakdown, which has a similar stamp without Hasbro listed on there. And at San Diego Comic-Con, of course, Hasbro told us that cost-wise, the figure is in no man's land, and Breakdown has no plans for release by Hasbro. So we have additional images of Jet Viacon last week, so definitely go to tformers.com to check out the full gallery. Takara Tomy has announced Asia Premium Series AP-501 Striker Optimus Prime, a limited edition Dark of the Moon Stealth Force figure. This is a remold of the Revenge of the Fallen Leader Optimus Prime that gives it a new shield and a couple of new weapons. Look for a release in late September or early October. We also have in-hand images of Transformers Generation China import Voyager Power Dive. AC Toys has taken some images of the figure, which is released part of the Generations GDO. Nobody knows what that means, but they have been released in Hong Kong and other Hasbro Asia markets. The figure is a redecoration of the Transformers Hunt for the Decepticons highbrow and a brand new head mold, as you can see in the images. And of course, it features a brand new redeco with some crazy looking shark look and just all around a different look to Power Dive that you would expect. The figure will be available at Toys R Us in October under the quote unquote China import line. No price has been announced yet. We have some new looks at the Mastermind Creation Nightformer Hearts of Steel Starscream. We have a couple of images of this figure that was announced back in March of last year and plays on the steampunk of the IDW's Hearts of Steel design. So very steampunkish, very nice design. release and price have not been made official yet, so keep so stay tuned and enjoy the images in the meanwhile. Also, for finally, we have a couple of TFC Toys pre-orders. Photron, which is the DSLR not reflector figure, which can come apart and be their own three figures and everything, will be available in the fourth quarter of this year and is currently pre-orderable at Big Bad Toy Store for $124.99. Also, the TFC Toys Project Uranus, which is a terrible name for the not Superion's figures, but the first two figures, Eagle and Phantom, are now available at tfsource.com. And that is it from the tformers.com news desk this week. I'm Peter Van, and we will see you next time.
We are back. One more item in the news. Transformers Prime moves to Friday nights with new episodes starting August 24th. So to me, that's better because my Fridays are usually a little more available than my Saturdays. So
it doesn't really matter to me either way because I watch it on delay in HD.
So. Yeah. I wish I had it in HD.
Although, on a semi-related note, Dish Network has actually moved the hub into its top 200 package, so it's no longer in the premium tiers.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. So now I think it's on basically equivalent footing with how DirecTV has it.
Mm. That's cool. Maybe more people will actually see it now.
Nah.
That would be good. That would be good.
One thing I wanted to mention, if you haven't already, if you are an Android user, go to Google Play and look for Radio Free Cybertron. We actually have three apps right now on the Google Play market. We have an RFC app. We have a tfradio.net video app. So all of our shows in video are on that app. And now we have a Fanboy Versus app. So if you want to keep up with the latest comic news, it's basically Chris McFeely in your pocket. I mean, how can you not love that?
That sounds so obscene.
It's the, yeah, I, you know, he didn't like that, or he never responded when I mentioned that, so I'm assuming that he is okay with me using the phrase Chris McFeely in your pocket.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, there's no implication about leprechauns or anything like that, so.
That's really not what I was suggesting there anyway.
Oh, I think I get what you mean now. Ew.
Where is our superhero time app?
It's better than Chris Triplett in your pocket, though. That would just be weird.
That's not very nice.
Now you're ranking them.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, Chris Triplett was in my wedding. I really can't imagine him like that. But I never actually met Chris McFeely. So until we have that, never mind. So, yeah, so go to Google Play and look for Radio Free Cybertron. You'll find our apps. Hopefully there will be a Superhero Time app before the next show.
Oh, that's good.
And then we'll do Screen View and New Soundwave. So it just takes a little while.
Yeah, Don suggests that we would have Fort Max in our pocket.
Oh, God. Actually, he's small. He could probably fit in your pocket.
Yeah, it's entirely likely. I mean, if you fold him a little bit, you know.
It's true. Okay, so
Fort Max is pretty cool. We had a good time hanging out with him at BotCon.
I didn't actually expect him to show up. even though he lives right there, I just, for some reason, just assumed that Fort Max wouldn't actually go.
Well, you know, our friend Ant was paying his way, basically.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Ant got married a couple weeks ago.
He did?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. But I didn't expect Fort Max to actually show. He was one of those people I never thought that I would actually meet because it would be too surreal. But he was really cool.
Yeah.
He was exactly like you would have thought.
It was fun meeting our co-workers and fans, some of which for the first time ever.
Like you.
Well, yeah.
Actually, I'd never met Amy before until this past BotCon. But otherwise, you were the only other person.
Weren't you But you went to Disney World. I think she went to Disney World, too. You just never met?
Never met her. Had no idea who she was. In fact, I had no idea who she was until Ender suggested that she replace him. So.
Gotcha.
But I really like Amy, so it was good meeting her. She's at Auto. She is actually not on the show this week. She is at.
Yeah, she is in England.
She is at Auto Assembly, so.
Hmm.
Yeah. She can make it to Auto Assembly, but some years I have a hard time making it to BotCon. I am not very dedicated.
We're not arguing that.
Yeah. Very true. Okay, so something really. I don't complain. As I was explaining pre-show, I used to work in customer service. I worked in a call center. I worked my way up, in there because I was good at listening to people complain. And when you listen to people complain for a living, you don't complain. But basically, I am going through like the worst customer service experience of my life. And I'm not blaming Hasbro. Yes, Hasbro, I say. It has to do with the San Diego Comic-Con exclusives from Hasbro Toy Shop. I got Cliffjumper just fine. No big deal. Cliffjumper came. They left it at my door. No problem. When they were bringing Cliffjumper, they were also bringing the Hiss Tank. And because I wasn't there, you know, I didn't realize it was going to require a signature. I didn't leave a signed note. Well, they left a shipping label on my door. It's, you know, sign here for pickup. You know, we'll drop it off. Just sign the note. So apparently, the first attempt was on a Friday. I had no idea they would deliver on a Saturday, but I wasn't at home. So they made another attempt. You know, I should have looked. I had no idea that a Saturday attempt would be made. But apparently, it's three strikes and you're out. So I'm like, oh crap. You know. I've got to make sure that I leave my note, sign it, and everything, so that they deliver this Hiss Tank. Because I was checking Hasbro Toy Shop, like, every 2 minutes. I was, like, OCD to make sure that I got that frickin' toy. So, I signed the note and left it on the door. They didn't try to deliver again Monday, but they tried to deliver again Tuesday. So, I was at work. I was checking the status. It said, shipping status, delivery exception, user not available, or home customer not available at home, third and final attempt. And when I got home, I was really pissed off. When I got home, the driver had actually took my note, tore it in two, and wrote in big sprawling letters, in person, which isn't a complete sentence. It doesn't even make sense. But I found out from talking to one of their customer service reps that they really needed me to be at home to pick it up. So, you know, I politely explained that I work 70-plus hours a week, 6 out of 7 days, and plus a 2.5-hour daily commute, and that it really wasn't practical for me to be home, during normal business hours.
No, you don't use the word practical, you use the word possible.
Possible. So, I spoke to the person. She was very nice, but she couldn't help. So I sent an email. I was exchanging emails with them. They gave me a couple of great options. One option was I could go pick it up at the FedEx facility, which is both an hour away from both my home and the office, and it's only open 8 to 5, Monday through Friday.
I don't think I want to hear your counter suggestion.
Yeah, well. Also,
I do.
Yeah, also, I have the option of picking up on Saturday until 2 o'clock. I'm like, it's an hour drive away to, like, there's nothing there. I have no reason to go there except to pick up the toy. It's a freaking toy. It's not like it's a $2,000 computer like they've delivered before without a signature. But they also said, well, you know, it could go back to the shipper, and the shipper could just reship it without needing a signature. That was one of their great suggestions. That I just thought that was completely implausible. So I actually decided, well, I'm going to try to tweet them. Maybe I can get some help there. So I tweeted FedEx. I'm like, I am very upset with at FedEx. So one of their customer service people, FedEx Dolores, had tweeted me back. And she, you know, I gave her my information, and she tweeted back in customer care lingo. She sent me back this canned response. It's like something that's, you know, pre-canned there that they use. Didn't even make sense. It wasn't even like in correct English, which is kind of pathetic. But you know, I thought that you know, through the power of social media, I would be able to get assistance. No. Her response was, "And I'm sorry, you can come pick it up." So right now, it's in Hasbro's court. Hasbro has actually contacted them. I contacted Hasbro Toy Shop. They bounced it back and forth between them and FedEx. FedEx said no. So it's actually gone to Hasbro now, and Hasbro is contacting them. But this has taken a week of like 25 or 30 emails and like 3 or 4 phone calls to like get something delivered to me that I paid for that, you know, I can't help it that I work.
I should have had delivered to your workplace then.
I can't. You know the reason
so
I can't?
So the signature or the in-person thing was just standard for Hasbro?
I don't think it's standard for Hasbro.
But I mean, when you like selected shipping, you didn't click anything,
no,
right?
No. It was the default.
Well, everybody who ordered the bigger ticket exclusives from Hasbro Toy Shop has had to provide a signature on delivery.
Yeah, and I've had to provide a signature before, but it was always, well, you can just leave your signature and we'll leave it at your door. You know, you don't have to be there. I mean, for every single computer I've ever bought from Dell, they do that. You know, the computer costs, you know, $2,000 or whatever. This is a $50 toy. It makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, it's really weird that you can't waive the right to be there in person all of a sudden.
Yeah, I mean,
just doesn't make sense.
You know, it's completely impractical for me to have to go there, you know, between 8 and 5 to pick up a flipping toy. And if it wasn't like, if I knew that I wouldn't like lose this and like have to pay like 3 times as much for what it goes for to, you know, just wave it and say screw it, I would. But I really want that toy. I was obsessive. I was like completely OCD about getting it. It's just stupid. But the reason I can't, I wanted to mention this, Dexvy, the reason I can't actually have this delivered to the office, 5 years ago, my friend Peter, who quit recently, he had a case of wine delivered to the office. And he ruined that for everybody. He's awesome. I love you, Peter.
Well, it doesn't matter anyway. I don't really care. That was just, you know, that's a typical shipper response to the situation.
You know,
try having the merchandise shipped to your workplace.
Yeah.
With some booze.
With some booze, yeah. But, you know, I've never had a problem with, like, you know, leaving a signature before. Like, never had an issue with it. It's happened, you know, I've done it dozens and dozens and dozens of times over the years. But for some reason, they just won't accommodate me in this. It's just, it's frustrating. It's really frustrating. So.
Well, on the other side, if anybody in our audience is still looking for one of these HIS tanks, it'll probably be back up on Hasbro Toy Shop in the next couple weeks.
I hate you, XV.
Oh man! It sucks that it happens.
Solve this by driving to the distribution center on a Saturday, like they said you could.
I told them if I had no other option, I would do that.
Brian, you have no other option.
Well, I'm waiting.
The second they heard that, they're like, "Well, we're not really going to try anymore, are we?"
No, they weren't trying to begin with.
Sad but true.
Yeah.
Sad but true. You know what's what I find the most, like, ironically funny thing is that even on Twitter, you got the canned response. So, essentially, you got, like, the new age version of the canned voicemail.
Yes.
It's just in the form of a tweet.
Yeah. So, you're looking at it right now? Yeah. It's,
That's awesome.
Yeah. I hate it.
Man.
I wish that I was in a position in my company where I had some say-so over logistics. I would, like, totally screw them over, but I don't. Darn. Hey, you know, any of you guys had a chance to play the Fall of Cybertron demo yet?
Yeah.
Has.
You like it?
I like it so far. Mostly I've messed with the multiplayer, which is, you know, from what I've read elsewhere, there are supposed to be, you know, some changes and some new modes and things compared to War for Cybertron, but I don't think they've really included most of those in the demo yet. The demo is very War for Cybertron, which, you know, the War for Cybertron multiplayer is good, but I, you know, as a demo, I think you'd kind of want to show off what's new.
Yeah, I played the single player campaign, and my problem is I game so little that when I do, it has to be a series that, you know, is really important to me, like Castlevania, or it has to be like a AAA title. So I'm completely jaded, and I'm like, yeah, it's okay, it's kind of like a Gears of War clone, blah, 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 blah. And Triple was like, dude, did you ever think that you would get a game of this quality, you know, around Transformers? He was like, you know, he's like, you know that Return of Convoy cart you have? It's like, that was the status quo before, like, God. Saw the Cybertron.
I am actually playing that now. There's somebody in the retro gaming community putting together something called Review a Bad Game Day for next week. And that is, and I chose Mystery of Convoy, and it is horrible. Convoy,
yeah. Actually, Mystery of Convoy.
Yes, I noticed that.
Convoy,
it's wonderful.
Yeah.
Convoy.
Don's right. He's saying Beast Wars Metals wasn't bad. In fact, the original Beast Wars game wasn't bad.
It was.
Yeah. I liked it okay.
You're stupid, though. You have bad.
I think you're giving it too much credit.
My favorite Transformers game, though, prior to, say, Metals. No, not Metals. Prior to War for Cybertron was the Beast Wars 2 game for Game Boy Color.
What about the PlayStation 2 game?
Oh, God, that's awful.
Oh, the Armada one.
Oh.
Oh no, the Armada one's good for what it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
The G1, that G1 one is god awful.
That's a piece of crap.
Hey, I want to play it sometime, John, just to see how bad it really is.
Shin kicks for days. Yeah. kicking seekers in the shin.
John, when we get a chance, we need to start that Transformers video gaming series that we're talking about. We really need to do that.
Put some branding together this weekend. I should have some time.
Because there's so much, you know, there's so much awful Transformers gaming experiences to talk about. So
yeah, it's mostly awful, and then there's some nuggets here and there. But we can get into it. Like, I would argue Fall of Cybertron and War for Cybertron they're good games, but people fall all over themselves because they're not awful. I mean, they're good games. But people just go bonkers because they're not tragedies like a lot of the other games are. So,
having played Gundam games for a very long time, I understand this situation.
But you know, one of the reasons they the Armada game was a good game, but the Armada game was not a G1 game. I think that's the thing.
No.
And Fall of Cybertron is, in some capacity, a G1 game. Sorta. I mean, it's close enough for the average person.
Well, you know, I think it was Ender who said it way back when, you know, even if that's not what Hasbro intended, that's definitely what developers thought they were making.
Yes, exactly.
Well, what Fall of Cybertron is, if anything, it's like war within the video game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, again, that's as close as you're going to get to G1, the video game on Cybertron.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it's that PlayStation 2 game.
I don't even know what G1 means anymore. Maybe we can talk about that at some point on the show. At this point, I have no idea what that means. Because they've redone G1 two or three times now in the last 5 years. We've got like a massive toy line, most of it's behind me, that it's G1 all over again. Nobody likes the toys anymore. Is there any romance left with G1?
Yeah.
Or is this... The last 5 years has been just like G1 again. Well, I don't know.
I'm all for talk. I was actually thinking about this today because the guy before who'd asked me, is it G1? And I said, yes. And he said, that's not G1. Friend of mine. I think highly of the guy, but I was talking with him today about Fall of Cybertron at work. And I've been thinking about that for the last few days. G1 is completely now internalized to, like, the person talking about it. I mean, you could say G1 is exclusively stuff that came out between, like, 84 and, what, 91? Or, you know, you could say that it's, you know, that stuff plus the Japanese stuff. Or you could say it's that stuff plus anything that came after that references that stuff that takes place, you know, fiction-wise in that timeline or represents those characters. You could say that that PlayStation abomination that came out, you know, is G1 because it's around the G1 characters. Of course, it came out 20 years later, but that's neither here nor there. I mean, it really just depends on what you want to make of it. Part of me kind of, sort of, thinks of G1 as being basically the stuff that occurred, that happened fiction-wise and toy-wise in the mid to late 80s and early 1990s, and basically anything else is sort of just an adaptation of it. Sort of how I look at it. That, you know, classics isn't exactly G1, it's classics. Generations.
But, I mean, I guess my point is, like, there's been so many adaptations of it and iterations of it in the last 5 years. It's just really confusing. It confuses my nostalgia. It confuses my perception of what G1 is, because, like I said, I look down, like right by my computer are, for some reason, two classic Bumblebees, and then on tformers.com you'll look up and see the new Masterpiece toys coming out, and then chances are you've got other classic toys kind of around you, and there's like Wheelie and Springer, who are Asian exclusives that are coming out. It's just a really bizarre term at this point. I mean, you're right. Like if it had like a Webster's Dictionary listing G1, there'd be like seven definitions for it at this point.
Easily. I mean, yeah. what G1 was convoluted back when it was happening originally. I mean, fiction-wise, definitely, you had the comic, you had the toy line.
You had the British comic.
You had the individual books that came out, like the Find Your Fate stuff, or the cassette stories, you know, the other fiction. You had the Blackthorn comic, you know, shortly after. It's what G1 is it's a lot of different stuff. And, you know, it's kind of hard to say. I mean, especially when I got back into Transformers after my, you know, decade or so with G.I. Joe. With G.I. Joe, it was a little easier. Because with G.I. Joe, you could sort of easily say, oh, it's the comic. And you kind of leave it there. But with Transformers, it's a little harder. You like it all, but it's kind of hard to wrap your hands around. It just really is.
Yeah, it's hard because Transformers hasn't had very many dormant periods. I mean, maybe like, I don't know, two or three over the course of its lifetime where you'd say, oh, the line or the brand went dark for a couple years. Other than that, I mean, it's been like this constant barrage of stuff. And then it gets really weird where when you look back, like I said, like since, I don't know, what was it, 2007 when Classics started? Essentially, since then, it's been two things. It's been Michael Bay, and it's been Classics. And it's just been a really kind of bizarre place to be, you know?
Yeah, and, I mean, that's just in the U.S. I mean, if you look at the, you know, stuff that came out in Japan, you know, there's a few things that have come out in Japan that we didn't get, plus... oh goodness! Just the miscellaneous stuff that we don't get, like Kabaya, all the Kabaya kits. That stuff never comes out. That doesn't come out here. That's very G1, if you want to call it G1. And some of the other things that we didn't get, like Rumble and Frenzy, you know, minor things like that. But back in the day, like those Kabaya gum kits would have been. I mean, I think they're really awesome now. But back in the 80s, that would have been like the coolest thing ever. That would have been like the coolest I guess we call those relics. Is that what that's sort of the retro term for it? I guess miscellaneous merchandise or something. Kabaya would have been fantastic if we would have had that back when, you know, when this stuff's going on. There's some other things though that have come out. Did Takara do vending toys for G1, or did they only do animated? I can only think of animated, but I want to say that there was something like that for G1 characters.
It's not unlikely. I mean, it may be something incredibly like random and kind of small scale, but if that exists, it wouldn't surprise me.
Plus, Encore. I mean, Encore was something that's never really stopped in Japan. I mean, it's maybe a stop once in a while, but the re-releases. You know, we stopped in the U.S. for the most part. We stopped doing that 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah, I will say they're going insane though with it. I mean, look at Six Shot. They're doing it with Six Shot, so they've kind of lost their minds on that one. But it's okay.
What was the first, you know, like real enhancement for one of those? Was it God Convoy? God Jinrai?
Yeah, maybe.
I think when they started doing what they call the book box reissues is when they got updated with, like, paint applications instead of factory stickers.
You know, those had applications.
Didn't New Year's Convoy predate the book boxes, though, which came with, like, the Matrix and the mouse pad and all those extras and things?
Yeah, different color eyes and chest glass.
Yeah.
So that was a pretty major change. Not really an upgrade, but...
Yeah, because even if God Jinrai was before that, to my knowledge, God Jinrai is pretty much the straight-up Japanese release. It's just that when it got released here, it was significantly different from Power Master Prime.
Yeah, that's true.
So did it have the retractable fists? Did the original Japanese have the... I thought...
Yeah, it had the retractable fists because the retractable fists are necessary to get God Bomber equipped on there.
Okay. That makes sense.
At least that's as how I understand it. I sadly do not have that.
That sounds right. That sounds right. So, yeah, so they're coming out with that blinged-up six-shot, and then they had Predaking, I guess, last year or the year before.
2010.
And he was significantly different. Yeah, so he was significantly different. So I guess that's the norm now, that they're going to really, like, heavily tweak the reissues now.
But those are things that they've already reissued. I mean, has it come to the point where they're not reissuing anything new? What was the last... new Encore that came out.
I mean, was Predaking the first?
No, Predaking came out in 05 as well.
Okay.
I think it's Devastator was the last new Encore thing they did.
It's the last I can remember, yeah.
Did they do anything to him?
He was tweaked.
You have to ask McFeely, he's the only one who bought it.
He is tweaked slightly, but I think that it's mostly for out of necessity. Don't laugh when I say this.
Sucks.
Don't laugh when I say this, but I think Bruticus was new. Of course, they've used that mold to high hell, but don't think they've actually released a Bruticus, like the G1 Bruticus deco.
They haven't?
I don't think so. I may be wrong.
How ironic if they have.
I don't remember them doing the G1 deco.
As much as that mold was used, it may not be around anymore.
We can find out in just a second.
Yeah, that mold is just like a smoldering mess in the factory.
Yeah,
yes, it all the details have worn down. When you look inside, it's just perfectly spherical.
Yeah.
They did in 2011.
Ah.
Oh, really? Last year?
Okay. Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about.
I'm looking at the wiki, and it's giving two different dates, 2011 and 2009, for one instance.
Oh, I don't remember 2009.
It was one of the two.
Okay. But
I mean, it did come out in Encore.
Yeah, so most people, I think, when I say most people, I mean me, would really like to see them do Overlord, especially because I had Overlord, and I sold it, and I would like to have it, like, at a fraction of the price that I sold it for. That would be... fantastic. Triplet keeps to this day complaining that he doesn't have an Encore Overlord. Like, dude, you know, you're rolling in cash. Just buy one. then some of the other sort of major toy characters that came out, you know, like Star Saber. It would be cool to see a Star Saber. I kind of want to say it would be cool to see a Thesaurus, but not really.
Yeah, he kind of sucks.
He kind of sucks.
Yeah, there's better things to put the time and effort into. Absolutely. Yeah, you're right. Overlord would be great. Metro Titan would be great.
They could easily do Metro Titan, for God's sakes. They've already Metroplex was released a couple of years ago, and I think that was the first time.
And almost immediately bootlegged.
Yes.
God.
So yeah, they released Metroplex and Omega Supreme around the same time. There was also a release of Skylynx, but I want to say that they had already released the Skylynx before that. Skylynx is an odd one to do. I mean, you know, I love
Skylynx. Yeah, who asked for that?
I mean, I like Skylynx, but, you know, I had...
Well, okay, the thing with Skylynx and Omega Supreme, you know, those toys predated the Diaclone stuff. Hasbro used them under license, and Takara ended up acquiring the company that owned those molds without even realizing it at first. So when they discovered they had the rights to that, it's like, okay, well, let's turn these out since we can.
They need to acquire Bandai. I'll leave it there.
Well, now, see, in America, that wouldn't be such a hard thing to do.
Yeah, I know. In Japan.
But Bandai's a little strong in Japan.
Yeah, that's true.
A little bit.
So, yeah. You know, they should do the Throttle Bots next. Those
And the Battle Chargers.
Yes.
Yes. That would be awesome. In, like, some huge, gaudy gift box.
Oh, great. God. That would be fantastic.
It would be awesome.
And then they have to do a set of them in GoBots-inspired colors.
I wish there was a mainline sort of repaint set, kind of like they do with the eHobby exclusives, but, like, not make them so exclusive that they become, like, ridiculously expensive. Like the GoBot set was, like, as soon as it was released, it sold out, and the aftermarket price just, like, shot up, like, 200%. There should be, like, some sort of, I don't know, easily or mass-produced repaint set that's not, like, a black Rodimus or something like that. I don't want another black Rodimus.
Well, now, to be fair, the Masterpiece Black Rodimus was really pretty.
This is true. But, of course, it's not the G1 Rodimus, which is crap to begin with.
Well, no, I mean, screw that.
But what is? But what is the G1 Rodimus? The G1 Rodimus has charm to me at this point.
Well, let's see, the G1 Rodimus is also the black animated Rodimus, and the black Hankei Rodimus, and Shattered Glass Botcon Rodimus.
I'm talking about the 1986 G1 Rodimus.
Yeah.
Not the classics.
Yeah, but I'm saying those other toys all did basically the same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That's true.
It was only the Masterpiece that actually tried to do something different with the color scheme and ended up being very appealingly 1987 about it.
Yeah. But
there wasn't a black Hankei Rodimus that wasn't Wild Rider, right? That was Wild Rider, right?
Okay, yeah, that was Wild Rider, yeah. But it still basically boiled down to a black Rodimus.
Yeah, that's what he is, essentially.
Okay.
He's also like $600 now.
Sickening, isn't it?
Chew on that.
Oh, and there was a Titanium Menasor, which was a black Rodimus also.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Man, that line sucks.
I'm willing to bet, too, there was a black Energon Rodimus, but I don't know off the top of my head what it looks like.
It looks like crap, if it looks like anything. I'm not fond of Energon Rodimus at all. It was the best G1 Rodimus we ever had, though, until the Classics Rodimus came out.
It's still the best Rodimus Prime you can get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't argue against that. Okay, cool.
What else do we have to talk about?
Well, let's go ahead and jump to Rescue Center with Amy and Nicole. We'll be back right after this. Blue Team patrols fought bats and stasis. He's later awoke in the strangest of places. Earth was their home, now and in addition, Optimus Prime gave them this mission.
Hello, and we are back once again with a Rescue Bots short review for Rodeo Free Cybertron. I am Amy.
I am Nick. Hi.
And we are going to review another episode of Rescue Bots, obviously, because that's why we're here. This episode is You've Been What Is It? Squilched. It's a really strange word. It's squilched. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, yes, it's called You've Been Squilched, and it's Rescue Bots meets the Blob meets Flubber.
But green snotty goo.
Yeah, and I've noticed
around.
That lately. In the episode before that, there was a lot of green stuff that was causing problems as well, with the green dust that came off the asteroid.
Oh, yeah.
True. So I thought, oh, that's an interesting connection. We're getting a lot of green stuff. And then, of course, they call this, we're being attacked by a giant booger.
That was funny.
I loved it. It was great. So basically, what happens in this episode? We get
Doc Green is causing havoc again.
Well,
basically.
Yeah, kind of. He got stuff from outer space. It's this blobby stuff that he's still in the middle of kind of in experimenting on it, and we get like, well, there's also a subplot as well, because at the very beginning, Graham gets a letter. He's been accepted to a Brainiac school called this Grimseed Tech. And so he's trying to decide whether or not he's going to go and leave the team and go on that. So there's your little subplot for the episode.
Yeah, but it was definitely Graham Boulder centric.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And Cody gets called away by Frankie to come to the lab because something's going down. So he shows up, and I have to say, I am disappointed. I am very disappointed. Because he had a hoverboard, and we still have no real-life hoverboards. Doggone it, Back to the Future. What have you done to us? I got serious there, right? Anti-gravity shoes and a hoverboard. I was like, we've been gypped. We've been gypped. Oh.
I know. If I would be friends with Doc Green if I could get my hands on that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Especially since when I was at San Diego Comic-Con, they were selling the prototype that was like, and they were claiming, it's like, it doesn't actually hover, but it slides really well on wet, on slick surfaces. I was like, that's not a hoverboard. I'm sorry. I will not even pay for something like that or even desire to have something like that if it doesn't really levitate without something, you know. It has to. If it's not levitating, it's not a hoverboard. I'm sorry, that's a cheap ripoff. I don't care if I don't care if it's the movie prop. I don't care. It's gotta hover. It's gotta be a real hoverboard. Oh, anyhow, sorry. I had to get a little, you know, ranty there about it. But yeah. But yes, it's cool that he was on a hoverboard when he was on his way to there. But anyhow, they come out with this little slimy blobby thing that they start playing with, and they're throwing it at each other. And then it gets zapped by some sort of electrical source. Course. Yeah.
Yeah.
And suddenly it starts behaving in a different way, and it starts absorbing stuff. So it's like, oh, it could go really, really dark. They didn't go there, but they so totally could have.
It kind of did. Mr. Pettypaws got eaten.
Yes.
Well, somewhat. This glob.
Squirrels did.
Squirrels, yeah.
People.
Even Chase.
Yes. And it was like, oh my gosh, because at first they didn't tell you what was going to happen to them when they were absorbed. So it was like, it just got bigger and it just started going places and doing things. And so it was like, Chase, oh my gosh. And you knew somebody was going to get absorbed, right? I mean, I could tell that eventually. I was like, okay, if this is absorbing metal objects, somebody's going to get eaten. Somebody's going to get eaten. And I don't know what's going to happen to them. Like, are they going to get taken over? Is this going to be like the blob for reals? It's just a kid version.
Speaking of Chase, he was hardly in it, but he had some of the best lines.
Yes.
There's a line at the very end. I don't want to give it away. I actually laughed out loud. I was cracking up.
Is this
up.
One the stuff where he says he's going to have to remove something in private?
Yeah.
Gelatin residue that I'll have to remove in private. I'm like, well, yeah, that was a little of a dodgy comment as well. I was like, yeah, you have to remove that in private. I was like, oh gosh, the fans are just going to go nuts over that one. But yes, it was hilarious. I about fell out of my chair when that happened. It was really good. There were a couple of really great lines in this. So yeah. The good thing about it, I like the fact that in this we got a little get a little electrical lesson about direct current opposed to alternating, and I thought, oh, that was kind of cool. So there was something that you can learn out of this. The only thing they didn't put in there is a warning about how electricity is dangerous.
Yeah. Well, the reason at the end why they were safe is because the way that the glob...
It was an insulator?
It was the insulators.
You know what? Still, how did people breathe in that?
They have little air bubbles, remember?
Yeah, air bubbles, but like air bubble can only last for so long. And for two, that much of electrical charge go through this thing and they didn't feel a thing?
Yeah. It's the physics.
I mean, I know, it's the physics of stuff. And yes, they did say that they were insulated so it wouldn't hurt anybody. But they didn't really know. They said I guess it did actually happen that it was really insulator against the electrical current. Oh, you didn't know that before you did it? Mr. Petty Paws, all the squirrels and the whole swim pool people that were sucked
Blades
into the
Blades stood up for Mr. Petty Paws. Yes. Blades went out to defend his little kid. It was so cute. And one of the best, cutest moments I thought was when Cody and Frankie were playing with it at the very beginning. I'm like, this is so cute. This is how kids are. And they are going to relate to this very well.
It was
a
kid moment, and it was very, very easy to see.
And I was
they were acting like kids. It was great. Yeah,
I was
liked
jealous
that.
Because I'm like, I want to be in that situation, just throwing stuff around. You know?
Yep. Oh, and I also liked how he got absorbed is... Chief put himself in the line of danger, and that's the reason why Chief got absorbed, because he got stuck. And I thought, oh, now I see where Cade gets it from. But his whole purpose for getting involved was to help get the kids out of the way that were at the playground. So I was like, oh, he's like, giant slime ball headed this way, run. I was
the
like,
the thing is, if you said that to kids, I don't think they'd be running. They'd be like, where?
Where exactly? Where is the giant slime ball? Yeah. Yeah.
I want to see.
And the kids nowadays, they probably would be doing that. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, awesome.
It was a fun. There's just some great one-liners in this.
It was a great episode. I mean, I think this is just kind of almost a standard now. Every episode is kind of fun. It's just great. Uh-huh. Certainly there's little continuity things, or not continuity, little things about the logistics of how something can actually happen. Yes.
It's cartoon physics. Just think, Looney Tunes didn't make sense when we grew up. So.
Griffin Rock is magical. It does break some of the laws of that we know and hold dear to reality. But it was good. And then of course we continued to hit back on the whole subplot. By the end, we find out what Graham's answer is, which I'm not going to spoil. You'll have to go and see it. Are they going to break up the team?
I like that they centered on Graham this time around.
It really was. It was a Graham-centric one. And not only that, is that they made Boulder out to be he's
the smart one.
He's smart. He's a smart guy. Mm-hmm. He's the big, gentle giant with brains.
Yeah.
So.
And I like that Graham didn't have his hat on in a few scenes. He didn't have his art hat on in a few scenes.
So. Good. Yeah. Good. That's awesome. So you'll have to go and find the show to see if he actually breaks up the team or not. So.
Yeah.
Yep. And you were right about the soundtrack. This time round, the kids were not around, and so I put my headphones on and listened to it. The soundtrack was really good. I was like, dang it. I have to go back and listen to all of the other episodes now with my headset on, going, oh, wow, that's really cool. Sorry.
Yeah, a lot of it is very movie-oriented, but then they also have their own individual stuff, and it's really cool. I love the music in this. So.
Yep, it's really good. So... That is probably more than 5 minutes, but hey, it was good. We had to say it, so it must be said.
Go watch the snot that took over.
Yes, go watch it. It won't be you won't be too grossed out.
It's that gross.
Yeah, it's not really that gross, but yeah. Maybe at the very end when they're all, ew, we're dripping green goo.
It's like a big Jell-O mold.
Yeah, just think of it as Jell-O. Yeah, Jell-O is really messy, what can I say?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, we'll see you guys next week then.
Okay, bye-bye.
Awesome.
Cool.
This is comic news, not with Amy Morgan this week. It's Brian Kilby. So, since Amy's out, I am covering sorta comics. I really wanted to talk about Regeneration number 82. I'm certain Amy will actually come back and sort of cover this herself. But I'm certain Amy's opinion and my opinion, a little bit different. So I downloaded Regeneration 82 on Comixology, like I normally do, and read it. And I am sort of, at best, neutral. It's certainly better than a lot of the other stuff that we've gotten in the past, certainly better than the... IDW run prior to what we're reading right now, which is freaking brilliant for the most part. But I had some problems with the book in general, really in concept. I'm going to do my best not to spoil this for you if you are looking forward to reading it, but I may throw a couple in. So my biggest problem with the series is that it's a separate continuity from the other two comics. The other two comics being in continuity with each other. So, you know, Marvel does this with books like Amazing Spider-Man and then Ultimate Spider-Man. Not so much now because Ultimate Spider-Man's a different character, but it's kind of easy to keep that separated when you have characters that are either, you know, you have one or two you have to worry about, or in the case of like X-Men and Ultimate X-Men, the Ultimate X-Men characters look radically different and act radically different and are different characters than the Marvel than the Marvel 616, a regular Marvel Universe equivalent. So in the case of Regeneration, you know, for the most part, you could pull the characters out of the Regeneration universe and throw them into the regular IDW universe, and you wouldn't know the difference. Which, so, they pretty much look the same. So when you have books that are focusing on the same characters like Cup or Ultra Magnus or Optimus Prime or Whirl or what have you, it's kind of hard to keep the story in the continuities and the general direction from mixing up a little bit, for me anyway. Yeah, while certainly the story in Regeneration is radically different than that of the regular Robots in Disguise and More Than Meets the Eye comics, you know, the individual happenings with the characters, on the other hand, could be simple to, or easy in my case, to confuse. Like, well, wasn't Cup doing this and that? Oh, no, that was that. That was this. It was that. Now, the one place where they are different, and this is the most striking part, is in characterization. So, with Robots in Disguise and More Than Meets the Eye, the characters are kind of fun. It's even if a character is sort of stiff and stodgy, kind of like Ultra Magnus, it's still they're still presented in a way that's fun to read. Furman's stuff is, I've never been a huge Furman fan. I think Simon Furman is a great guy, and I think he's done a lot for Transformers, and I hope that he continues in some capacity to do a lot for Transformers. But his writing is a little stiff, just a little sort of melodramatic at times, and I really think that he's probably playing that up in this comic specifically. Like, if you haven't read Regeneration 1, number 81, I will spoil you on this. Megatron shows up at the end. He is, of course, featured in this issue. And, well, it's very Simon Furman Megatron, if you catch my drift. It's just the language he uses, it's just, nobody speaks like that. It just doesn't work for me. The one thing I do like about the book is it features a couple of nice homages to the original U.S. comic. The most interesting being the one on the last page. I'm really looking forward to what happens with Regeneration 1, number 83. It's hard to keep track because it's the third issue, but it's a continuation of the G1 comic in idea. It's not really. Of course, we already had that. It was G2, and we had a couple of other examples that were probably better. I love G2. So this kind of sticks out like a sore thumb for me. But the ending of Regeneration 1, number 82, I thought was kind of cool, especially as, you know, sort of a long-term fan. So I am looking forward to see what happens in Regeneration 1, 83. You know, hopefully, I'm going to continue to buy the book. And I didn't buy the IDW stuff prior to the current run. I bought it here and there, but it just never really did anything for me beyond Last Stand of the Wreckers. So, you know, if I'm actually going to, you know, buy the book month over month, it can't be that bad. And it's not really bad. It's just not as good as More Than Meets the Eye, which is phenomenal. Love that book. Love that book so much. So, coming up next, we have Transformers Rewind. It's my personal favorite episode of all time, Web World.
Radio Free Cybertron. Transformers
Rewind.
This week on Transformers Rewind, it's Web World.
want. I'll do nothing at all. Galvatron. Cyclonus, this is Sammy.
The Decepticons are flying around looking for magic space rocks to make their guns work.
Soundwave, eject Ratbat to begin scanning. With the Isotrite to repair our weaponry, we'll do just that.
And then crush the Autobots to scrap! Crush the Earth and its puny humanity! Crush anyone, anything that dares to oppose us!
Agree, mighty Galvatron. But first, we must find the Isotrite. Ratbat has found a deposit of Isotrite and something else.
Ratbat discovers an asteroid with it, but wouldn't you know, the Autobots are already there getting their rocks off.
Decepticons! Attack!
Eyes aloft, gentlemen! A rival geological survey has arrived!
Hold your ground! We need the Isotrite as much as they do!
A fierce battle begins, but it is short-lived as Galvatron defeats all the Decepticons single-handed while the Autobots quietly leave with their magic ore.
Out of my way, fool!
Mighty Galvatron, please! We must use strategy!
Strategy is a coward!
Back on Char, some representatives of the Decepticon army tell Cyclonus they're sick of Galvatron being batshit. And if they have to, they're going to unseat him from leadership. Which, considering what he just did to the Decepticon army a few minutes ago, I don't think it's going to work very well, but that's neither here nor there.
You should have seen Galvatron in action. No Decepticon ever fought more valiantly.
Or less rationally.
Yeah, well, maybe the Autobots should have destroyed him. They'd be doing us a favor.
That is treason, Swindle. We need Galvatron.
Hey, that's a can of old lube. He'll be the death of all of us if something isn't done about him.
Cyclonus is concerned, but when a Quintesson projects his image to him, he just gets annoyed. The Quintesson suggests a planet such as Torculon, where Galvatron can get professional help. But, of course, it's not the Quint's problem how Cyclonus will get him there.
There are worlds that specialize in curing such disorders. Torculon, for example.
Don't insult my intelligence, Five-Face. I trust you no further than I can throw Trypticon. On the other hand, something must be done.
Yes, mustn't it?
But Galvatron would never go willingly to such a place.
That, Cyclonus, is your problem.
Cyclonus uses the magic lure, Autobots, and gets him to follow him to Torculon.
There are Autobots waiting to be mangled!
Even now, the Autobots bask in what they believe to be their victory, never expecting us to strike at the new planet they are exploring.
Planet? What planet? We will make that world their tomb!
But instead of Autobots, they're met with a range of mental patients, and eventually the people running the asylum, who capture Galvatron when he refuses to accept treatment peacefully. And as Cyclonus watches, the Torculon subject Galvatron to a series of exercises to help him get his marbles back in the jar.
You! Where are the Autobots? I warn you. Tell me where to find the Autobots, huh?
Mommy!
I have no head. I have no head. I have no head. I have no head.
There are certain formalities. Does the patient have a service contract with us? Then we'll require a credit reference. I believe we can waive the customary deposit. Should the patient require permanent care, payment will be made in consciousness units rather than conventional currency.
What I want to know is,
do you understand and agree to these terms?
Yes, yes.
Then, if you'll validate the forms right here, and here for diagnostics, and for therapeutics, and one for parts and labor,
release me. Fools! Or perish!
Standard logic failure.
aggravated by the plasmatic imbalance.
Can you help him?
Path scan, please. Embrittlement of the metaprocessing circuitry. No wonder he's always on the brink of perceptual crash.
I am Galvatron! Release me! Forfeit your puny lives!
Galvatron, don't fight it. Just say whatever comes to mind.
Kill, smash, destroy!
Yes, go on.
Rend! Mangle! Distort! I'll destroy everything here! Everything! And then I'll destroy the Autobots!
Yes, tell me about the Autobots.
I hate the Autobots! I hate Cyclonus! And I'm not very fond of you either!
Perhaps we'll do better with psychomotor reintegration.
What's the point of this?
Sometimes assembling the pieces of an external object aids the patient in reconstructing his damaged psyche.
I'll get this some looks, and then I'll show him what this is. Let me out of here!
Your friend is rapidly exhausting his therapeutic alternatives.
But one after another, every attempt fails. Finally, the Turculons see there's no choice but to let the planet lobotomize him. After all, it will fix his insanity.
Therapy on Galvatron's metaprocessor has failed. Our only option is to complete its disintegration.
But his metaprocessor contains his mind. No, release him, let him go!
We cannot allow you to interfere. Besides...
You were supposed to repair his mind, not destroy it!
We tried. It's beyond repair.
When I get out of these!
What we do to Galvatron, we can also do to you.
No! Without Galvatron to lead us!
Cyclonus protests, but it's little use. As Galvatron's mind is connected to the living planet, his insanity actually overcomes the planet, and it too is now quite insane. Plus, when they're having a meeting of minds, Galvatron found out the source of the planet's consciousness, which he quickly goes to and destroys before going on to devastate as much of the planet as he can.
Open the linkage and let the planet access his central processor.
Planetary network has access. Transfer beginning.
All right. Let the Alya enjoy their meal.
Access positive. All circuits open.
What in the universe?
Feedback!
Impossible!
The place is coming apart!
The planet's going crazy!
It's been infected with Galvatron's madness.
The whole network is crashing!
Inhibit it!
I can't! Ah!
Cyclonus says it will take centuries for them to rebuild it all, but it's not enough for Galvatron, and only Cyclonus discouraging him from visiting further destruction upon Turculon by saying the magic word, Autobots, and Galvatron flies off to crazy another day.
You fear me, don't you, planet? You know I know your secret, don't you?
Secret?
When it invaded my mind, I was in its mind as well.
I know where it is. The planet's memory core?
Down there, in the oldest part of the web. And when we destroy it...
It knows what we're doing. It's trying to stop us.
You cannot stop me. I am Galvatron. I am your destruction.
So, wow.
Yeah.
This is like 95% a Decepticon episode, which yes. Just by itself is a really weird thing to get.
Well, it's written by, like, a real writer. If comic book writers are real, I guess. Lynn Wine.
Well, okay, that's... I just mean, like, okay, this got, like, cleared and approved and all the way through animation and broadcast. You know, it's just... It's a really uncommon concept for an episode, and especially dealing with primarily Galvatron's insanity.
I wonder how many G1 scripts were not approved. I mean, they had, what, 48 hours is basically the old not supposition, rumor or whatever, that G1 episodes were mostly written, you know, like within 48 hours of being approved after being pitched. So... Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's a Decepticon centric episode, Galvatron centric. A Decepticon centric. I mean, I've always kind of seen Galvatron as kind of like a kiddified version of Adolf Hitler. He's erratic and he has these crazy ideas and he wants to destroy everybody and people just go along with it because they're afraid of him. And it, basically, it's like the Odd Couple. It's like the gay Odd Couple with Adolf Hitler, and that's what the episode's about. He's in therapy. And I love it. It's like my favorite episode of Transformers. Or if it's not my favorite, it's one of my favorites. I love this episode so much. For like so many different reasons. That's true. Galvatron is so awesome. He is just like... He's like... a Shakespearean character. He's in the sense that you don't get crazy, just like a crazy force of nature. I mean, that's what he is. He's crazy, and he doesn't have any motivations beyond that. I love him, and I love his relationship with Cyclonus.
I think you broke it with Adolf Hitler Odd Couple therapy.
Gay.
Yeah, that too. I forgot that part.
Yes.
I'm so used to referring to Cyclonus as the battered wife in a relationship, I just don't even... I mean, yep. That just doesn't, like... It's not a conscious thought anymore.
Yes.
But, yeah,
So many interesting things in this episode. The Torculons are organic. They're one of the few organic characters that we see through G1 that are basically the size of the Transformers. Of
course, yeah, it's the planet of the giant apes.
Of course, with all the scale issues that we've had in this series, you know, it's kind of hard to say one way or the other, but these are definitely clearly intended to be giant ape people, which I like. I think is really interesting. And how they got in the job, how they got in the business of, like, therapy, we'll never know.
They're not in it anymore.
That's true.
It didn't seem like they were very good at it anyway.
No, it's like everybody that we saw was like bound up in those organic cages that they had.
Yeah. Of course, now to be fair, you know, once a person actually is treated and is, you know, functionally sane, they're probably not going to, you know, hang around the asylum anymore, but...
Maybe not. We'll never know.
No. The world may never know.
Yes.
How many licks does it take to get to the center of Torculon? Well, if Galvatron screams at it a little bit, not many.
Yeah. So, a couple of interesting things in this, and just small little things. After they're in battle, Galvatron gets injured. And, of all people, he gets repaired by Swindle. And I was watching this, and I'm like, why is Swindle repairing Galvatron? I'm like, oh yeah, they're no Decepticon medics. So, Swindle makes as much sense as anybody else.
Well, there's that, and Swindle probably wants to try to scavenge some parts out of him so he can, you know, make a few bucks.
Yeah, I think my favorite crazy part, and of course it also goes back to a sort of scale and not really knowing what they're doing with 2D animation sometimes, Galvatron punches a sweep from the air. It's not even physically possible how he does it.
Now, it should be noted that Season 3, the animation producer is Nelson Shin, who is the owner of Acom, or yes. Was at the time.
And that's why Transformers the movie also has, like, a lot of bad scaling problems.
Yeah, but it had a lot more money, so there was more frames, so you didn't notice how bad it was.
That's true.
Yeah.
yeah, I mean, there you can definitely see, like, throughout Season 3, for the most part, there is, you know, Acom qualities to it. There's not, like, the high frame rate that we see in those particular Season 2 episodes, but the really weird parts, I mean, that's there up front and close.
Yeah, one thing I wanted to mention, I said it was written by a real writer. This was written by Len Wein, who's best known as the creator of Wolverine when he was writing The Incredible Hulk, as well as Swamp Thing. So, and I would consider his greatest achievement, of course, Web World.
Well, of course, because that's the only one that focuses on Galvatron.
Yes.
Yes.
That is the case.
Wolverine, forget everything that he, that has ever occurred.
I mean, it's kind of like with Bot at the end of Season 2, which we talked about recently. There's other stuff going on. The episode itself is really weird, but, I mean, it's a really solid focus piece on Galvatron like Bot was on Swindle for at least half the time. It really developed Galvatron's insanity beyond just, okay, he's crazy and we'll do whatever. I mean, there's no, like, consistent characterization up to that point.
Yeah, it's not like he's crazy and we accept it. It's like, he's crazy, so we're going to do something about it. Oh, crap, there's nothing we can do. We might as well just go along. Then he had go ahead.
Since the other Decepticons weren't probably aware of the trip to Torkeolon and all, they probably did try to rise up against Galvatron and just got punched in the face a bunch.
And then there are times, like, I guess depending on convenience, he's, like, less crazy. Especially, yeah. Return of Optimus Prime. He's, like, dramatically less crazy in that episode.
Or in The Ultimate Weapon.
Yes. Well, I mean, that's still kind of crazy. Because I'm gonna swing a remote control at you and tell you that it will end the world.
Yes, but see, I mean, he's loose enough to know that, okay, this is Rodimus, and he's going to believe whatever the hell I tell him because he's Rodimus.
Yes.
And he doesn't know any better. I mean, it's actually kind of realistic because, even a really crazy person, they're going to have their moments where they at least appear to be, with it. They're lucid enough to be passable, at least.
Yeah.
And then they're going to have their moments like this where, crush, mangle, rend, distort.
Yes! Yes!
I like the distort at the end. That was yes. You could tell they're running out of words in their thesaurus.
So we are back. Don't forget, next week, watch City of Steel. Oh my god. That is the... of course we already recorded it, so I'll just spoil this. I consider City of Steel to be the worst episode of Transformers. Worse than Carnage in C Minor. It's not as huge a train wreck as Carnage in C Minor. But I just think that, all in all, it's a worse episode.
Well, the big difference between City of Steel and Carnage in C Minor is that with ACOM doing the animation for City of Steel, everything's basically consistent looking.
Yes.
That's about the only difference.
Yeah, Carnage in C Minor is, I think, I got a random ping about 3 months ago from Mop Boy, saying, just, for the first time, watched Carnage in C Minor. It's like, and his mind was blown. But City of Steel is one of those that kids remember because it's Optimus Prime being dismembered. So it's one of those things that sticks out. So people don't really have that shock and awe when they go back to it. But I think if you go down and sit and you actually watch it, it's pretty flippin' awful.
Between that, the movie, and the Marvel comic, it's amazing how many of our childhood memories revolve around horrible things that happened to Optimus Prime.
Like, if you go back, yeah, that's true. I thought you were going to say horrible things, and I was going to say, if you go back and read, like, the G1 comic around, like, issue 50 to 60... you'll never want to read a Transformers comic again. Micromaster Wrestling is... I love it, but... Yeah. Yeah. Hasn't aged well. Has not aged well. Okay, hey, City of Steel is next week. Actually, and if you go to youtube.com/TF Radio Network, we have a playlist of all of the Transformers Rewind episodes that we've done. And it's really worth watching. It's really fun. It's one of my favorite segments that we've ever done, like, over the course of almost 13 years that we've done this off and on. I love Transformers Rewind. It's the segment that I always wanted to do.
It's one of our various projects that we pitched during the BotCon trip, which is now one of the few that's actually materialized.
Yeah, we've got a lot of stuff that we want to do. I have about 4 hours of notes that I strung together in audio form.
Oh, yeah.
That I still have to go through. But there's a lot of stuff that we talked about doing, and this is the only one that's really happened.
We're working on stuff-ish.
I'm actually bringing back Get the Skinny. I went back.
You've been saying that for years.
Yeah, but I've got it set up now to do it. It's been like a year. It's not been years. It's been a year.
It'll be a double feature with the Star Trek podcast.
Man, that's code for you've loaded your body with ungodly supplements.
That's it.
And so now you're ready.
That is it. I am jacked up on caffeine. I don't sleep anymore. I just podcast.
Sleep is for the weak.
Think how crazy productive I would be if I didn't have 2.5 hours of commute time every day. It would just be amazing. I think I'm going to be one of those jerks that podcasts while he drives. So in about a month, I'll probably get killed. But it'll be a glorious month. Have you actually...
Yeah, all you need to do is get, like, really good cellular internet from your car, and you can even do it live.
Yeah, we... No. No, we tried that.
Well, that's right. You have skinny. To get cellular internet.
I have 4G, and it works really well, but...
Promise me that you won't shave once you start doing Get the Skinny again. So I want you to get thinner and at the same time grow a ZZ Top beard. That's what I want. So by the end of the show's run, you're going to look like a ripped ZZ Top. That's what I want for my 2014 Brian.
It's good in theory. You know, he can stop shaving when he does Get the Skinny, but since there will only be one episode of the return of Get the Skinny, you'll never actually see the product of it.
Okay. He'll get some stubble out of this.
I don't shave. Yeah, I mean, I've got stubble now.
Would you get, like, a nice, like, tight beard like Rob has, or would you just go, like, full Sasquatch? Do you have any idea, like, how your hair would grow?
Oh, I've grown a beard before.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That work out?
I look great with a beard, yeah.
That's the quote of the night.
Yeah, it's true. And that, you could take that out of context, and it just would mean something totally different.
That was John's point.
Yeah.
Thanks for explaining the joke, Brian.
I didn't. I was just thinking about how fantastic I looked with a beard. I need to go back and pull those pictures off my Flickr account and like make that my profile picture on Facebook. I think I'll do that right now, actually. Of course, I was also 100 pounds lighter when I had a beard. But man, I look great.
You know, there may be some correlation there.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. That's
you,
all.
You probably have a beard right now, but it's just not making it all the way out.
Oh God! Wow! 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 Wow!
That's great. That's probably true. Okay, so you can follow us on Twitter at TF Radio and our Facebook fan page. We're actually one thing I want to mention before we go. Our Facebook fan page. We're close to 1,000 fans. Go to if you're not a fan on Facebook. We have more than 1,000 listeners, so I know. Know that you are out there and you're not a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/TF Radio and like us. We want to get to 1,000 fans by the end of August. You know, preferably sooner. But it's August, just August 2nd, 2012. By the end of August, I want to have over 1,000 fans. So facebook.com/TF Radio. Do it. It's for my birthday, which is not in August, but I would appreciate it. Personally, you can follow me at BKilby on Twitter, or you could actually, if you want to, subscribe to my Facebook feed. I am very controversial, and I pick fights with my friends and family. It's really interesting right now. I basically made my best friend and my brother fight over Chick-fil-A. It's wonderful. So facebook.com/BrianKilby. It's fantastic.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Oh, dear.
It's great. Love it. Okay, what about you guys? XV, you're on Twitter, you're at XVBron.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. Rob.
Lies, lies.
Well, I am on Twitter at FoilThroughs. This week I will be posting a review of Transformers Mystery of Convoy for Review of Bad Game Day. That's August 8th. And, of course, you can also find us at Figure Reviewers for our toy reviews, and all of our Transformers reviews are currently over at T-Formers.
Yes, all of them?
Well, I mean, all the new stuff we're producing.
Yeah, all the new stuff. The old stuff, of course, is still at figurereviews.com, but everything from pretty much this year
February
forward
onward.
Is at T-Formers.
Very cool. Awesome. And John, what about you?
You can follow me at ThatJohnD, and then you can follow New Soundwave at New_Soundwave. And so next month, or this month's New Soundwave, will probably post within a week. I'm wrapping up editing right now, and it has a new star, I guess, on it, co-star. That would be Brian Kilby.
I'm back.
So we actually we traded XV for Brian. We'll see if we regret that in the long run.
But I think it's a very good move.
So yeah, check that out. Also, we talk about what do we talk about? We talked about buffets. There was a shocking revelation with buffets that Peter had, and then also some video game stuff kind of sprinkled in. So it's a good show.
I know more about video games than I should, and I don't play them, and I don't really keep up with them, but I was obsessive compulsive about, like, the NES through, say, the N64. So everything I know is completely useless, but I still like showing that I know it.
Welcome to the club.
Yes.
Now, it tends to be like a retro gaming podcast by default, but when new stuff comes out, I can be somewhat...
conversant.
Yeah, so we get by.
I still need to pick up Soul Calibur 5. I can't believe I haven't picked it up yet.
It's probably cheap by now at this point. So Soul Calibur 5, and actually people swear King of Fighters 13 is really good. It's not my cup of tea, ironically. I used to be an SNK fanboy. But,
is it 3D at this point, or is it 2D still?
Oh, it's 2D.
Oh, well, I may play that then.
Yeah, I mean, hey, the Mexicans are dominant. Maybe Brian Kilby can finally defeat the Mexicans at King of Fighters 13.
No.
We can only hope.
Actually, is anyone playing Street Fighter Cross Tekken at this point?
Is anybody playing it? There is a minor resurgence, only because the DLC came out this week with 12 new characters. But it didn't come with a significant patch to the god-awful gameplay. So there's that. I guess the good news is game has essentially said... Oh, two things I guess I can say. Okay, so first of all, Capcom has essentially said... they've hinted around it so much that you can expect a huge gameplay patch at some point this fall where they completely rework the game as much as possible. And second of all, on Saturday at SBO, which is kind of the Super Bowl in Japan of fighting games, Capcom's going to announce a new game. So there's speculation that it's a Darkstalkers game, but we'll see.
What is that? Dimitri wasn't used in Marvel vs. Capcom, was he? We didn't have it. Did we have any Darkstalkers character?
Yeah, there were several. There's at least three that come to mind. So there was Shenko, Felicia, and Morgan.
Yes. Okay.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. So I can get Blanka now. Is that one of the characters
that's
in Street Fighter Cross Tekken?
You can get Blanka, you can get Dudley, you can get Elena from Third Strike, Street Fighter 3, you can get Lars, get Brian Fury, he's kind of fun. He's way different. They took him in a weird kind of direction. He's not really very Tekken-y.
Oh.
I mean, he's just different. He just doesn't strike me as like Tekken Brian, but whatever.
Triplett and I were talking about this a couple days ago. I would really love to have Skullamania. I know we won't have him because of licensing. But I would kill for more Skullamania.
Well, I forget who owns the license now after it's been swapped around, but somebody did bring up the theory that you could release like an EX game without the Street Fighter characters. Like whoever owns the rights to all the other characters, they could in theory just put out their own like EX game. It just wouldn't have Street Fighter characters, and I don't think anybody would care about the lack of Street Fighter characters.
I know I've mentioned this before. Dalsim's theme from the original EX game is like my favorite background track for any fighting game ever. Love that track.
Really?
Yes.
Nice.
Okay.
To make it full circle, follow us on New Soundwave at Twitter, at New Soundwave, New_Soundwave, because I've kind of gotten on a kick, or I was on a kick last week posting good background music for some 8-bit games, so I think I'm going to get back on that kick, so I'll make some recommendations on Twitter.
Yes, I will pay attention to that. Actually, I think I'm going to go play my Famiclone. I think I want to see if I can maybe squeeze in my copy of Return of Convoy into it. It will probably break, but who cares? I paid $3 for it.
That's fine for you.
Yeah. Okay. That's Radio Free Cybertron for this week, for the guys. I'm Brian Kilby. We will see you later.
If it's not broken, it isn't one of Brian's toys.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/TF Radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. Copyright 2012 TF Radio Network.